Welcome back again. It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You know that when you hear that school bell. Every now and then someone will send me a message and they'll say, "I like your dinner bell." And I guess that does sound like a dinner bell. But this is not a dinner bell. This is a school bell. And when you listen to this radio Bible school, you become a student in a school. I guess you could say you're being spiritually fed. But think about going to the old country school when you hear the bell and the children running into the school with their books and taking their seats and eagerly awaiting to hear what they're going to learn from their school teacher. Well, I'm going to try to be that teacher. I am Bill Boyd, the superintendent of this radio Bible school. I'm also the preacher at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And I need to remind you in each broadcast that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and then Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. And I would invite you now to open your school book, and that is your Bible, to Acts chapter 2. And I'll begin this class in just a moment by reading Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning there, I'll also remind you that we're using as a guide for these class sessions Sunday school lessons that were written many years ago by E. A. Elam. And this lesson was written for the Sunday schools of December the 2nd, 1923. It is a Sunday school lesson about the power of the early church. And so far we've been talking about that power that the apostles would receive from the Holy Spirit. Let me read that to you. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the sound was heard, and the flame-like tongues appeared, the apostles were also filled with the Holy Spirit. Others before this had received the Spirit and had spoken by it." 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2, and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, we read there that no prophecy ever came by the will of men, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. And the apostles, by the Spirit, had worked miracles, but that was not called the baptism of the Spirit. Such was the power of the Spirit on this occasion, that it was called a baptism. The sound filled the house, the tongues set upon the apostles, and the Spirit filled them. It was not a slight manifestation like a sprinkling, but such an outpouring and overwhelming of the Spirit that the apostles were said to be baptized in it. The Spirit took possession of their mental and spiritual faculties, controlled and directed their speech. The Spirit spoke through them, or they spoke, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were the mouthpieces of God, who spake by the Spirit through them. And what they said, God said. This is God's way of teaching and converting sinners. To refuse to hear the apostles is to refuse to hear God, and to reject the Spirit. Jesus promised that the Spirit would do certain things. He promised that he would teach the apostles and bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever he had said unto them. We read that in John chapter 14 in verse 26. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said unto you. Second, Jesus promised that he would guide them into all truth and declare unto them the will of God. We read in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he shall take of mine and declare it unto you. So first, he would teach the apostles and bring all things to their remembrance. Second, he would guide them into all truth. But third, he would comfort them. This is the Comforter who would abide with the apostles and the Israel of God forever. We read in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you desolate. I will come unto you. But then forth, this Holy Spirit, coming to the apostles, would bear witness of the truth. We read in John chapter 15 and verse 26, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And then number 5, he would do for the world the following. He would convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to thy Father, and ye behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world hath been judged. John 16, verses 8 through 11. But then number 6, let this particular notice be given to Jesus' declaration concerning the world's not receiving the Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him not. The world, of which the devil is prince, cannot receive the Spirit of God. It is filled with and ruled by another spirit. There are today two spirits, the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world. There are two institutions, the church, which is the kingdom of God, of which Jesus is the head and king, and the world, of which Satan is the prince and ruler. God's Spirit fills the church, his kingdom, but not the world. God does not put his Spirit into the world. The church cannot have the Spirit of the world. The world does not recognize and does not know the Holy Spirit. Note this. Jesus said in John chapter 18 in verse 36, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. The spirit of this world and the kingdoms of the world ruled by the spirit of this world is a revengeful fighting spirit. The spirit of Christ's kingdom is the very opposite. He is the Prince of Peace. Any man who has the Spirit of Christ resists not him that is evil, and comes out from the world and keeps himself unspotted from it. He loves not the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. He who loves the world is of the world, but he is not of the Father. We read in John chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Spirit would not come in this power until Jesus went away. Then Jesus would send him. In John chapter 16, and verse 7, we read that the Spirit would not come except I go away. Pentecost was the right time. Jesus had gone away. The right person, the apostles, not the world, were present. They were in the right place, in Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, we read, And behold, I'd send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high. And Jesus is there talking to his apostles. For the above reasons, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and this power qualified them for their future work. There's another reason. When Moses had set up the tabernacle and had placed everything in it according to the pattern, Hebrews 8 and verse 5, which God had given, God filled it with his glory. Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 and 35. And so he filled the temple and accepted it when Solomon had finished it according to his divine plan. 1 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. We read in Hebrews 8, verse 5, about those who serve that which is a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses is warned of God when he's about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern which was shown thee in the mount. And when Moses did that, God accepted that. In Exodus 40, in verse 33 through 35, we read that he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. And then when Solomon built that temple, according to the pattern that God had given to David, we read in 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3, that God approved. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Jehovah filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of Jehovah because the glory of Jehovah filled Jehovah's house. And all the children of Israel looked on when the fire came down, and the glory of Jehovah was upon the house, and they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped, and gave thanks unto Jehovah, saying, For he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. When Jesus had prepared the living stones for his spiritual temple and had finished his work, God sent his spirit at the right time and place and accepted it and filled it with the presence of his glory. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of Christ and the prophet of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit.